With the NFL draft just 3 days away, we welcome onto the show tight end Matt Weiser of Buffalo, who's waiting for his chance to join the ranks of professional football. We'll also be revealing our Packers mock draft. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for the NFL draft this upcoming weekend. To do that, we'll be revealing our mock draft. We're also supposed to have on this show, on this episode, an interview with NFL draft prospect Matt Weiser, a tight end from the University of Buffalo. We're waiting his call. So what we're going to do is I'm going to start revealing my mock draft. And if Matt calls during the middle of it, we'll pause. We'll pick it back up after the interview. So that's how things are going to work today. And let's jump right in. So the NFL draft starts on Thursday, first round Thursday, second and third rounds Friday, fourth through seventh on Saturday. So 3 days of NFL draft action coming up at you soon. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you my Packers mock draft. I'm not going to give you a full NFL mock draft where I go 1 through 32 or anything like that. But I do this exercise every year, a seven-round Packers mock draft. Here's who I think the Packers will take in each of the seven rounds. They have nine picks total because of the two compensatory draft choices. And it's guys who I think fit what the Packers do in their schemes and systems on both sides of the football, offense and defense, and who I think will come off the board when. This is an inexact science, obviously. Some guys will be picked earlier than I expect them to go. Some will be picked later. this happens for everybody. I've rarely gotten one right in these things, and anybody who does one of these is going to be the same way. It's not going to work out exactly like this, but if I could hit one or two of them, I think I'm providing a service. And that's what I'm trying to do. Analyze these players a little bit and see how they might fit in with the Green Bay Packers. All right. Like I said, without further ado here, your first round draft pick of the Green Bay Packers, assuming they stick at number 27 overall, don't trade up or trade down. So we're making that assumption as well here. But my best prediction for who the Packers will take, I'm going with UCLA defensive lineman Kenny Clark, a guy who we've talked about on the show before, a guy whose name obviously has come up just because he's, probable or potential first round material. Some people think he's maybe not going to go in the first round, more of a round two type of guy. I like what Kenny Clark offers. To me, he reminds me of Kawan Short of the Carolina Panthers. And if you can get that kind of player in the first round, I think you jump at it. He's not quite as long as Kawan Short. He doesn't quite have those long arms. But what Kenny Clark is, I think he's a guy who can play up and down the defensive line, probably a nose tackle most ideally, but also a guy who can play as much as, can kick out to the five technique at the defensive end. I don't think he has a whole lot of experience there in college, but I think he has the length to do it. He's like 6'3", doesn't have the long levers, but he plays with leverage. A former high school wrestler, I think he stays low. He's very young. He's like 20, 21 years old. So he's one of the, he's 21. He's one of the youngest players in this year's draft class. And thus, I think there's a lot of room for growth with him. And it's going to take some time. But I think that, you know, the Packers have a little bit of a luxury in that, you know, they've got Mike Daniels and they've got LaTroy Guyon. You know, it's kind of your top two defensive linemen. And really, most of the time, you only need two, you know, especially when you're talking that they're a nickel and dime and you only got, you know, two down defensive linemen and 3-point stances out there. So they can, you know, they can live with those guys the majority of the time as Kenny Clark comes along. Now, obviously, you need the third guy out there, you know, when they're in their base defense, and then especially because Mike Pennell is suspended the first five games of the season, Clark is going to be, you know, he's going to be thrown to the Wolves right away if he were to go to the Green Bay Packers because they have that need there. But I think, you know, they're also going to, a guy who's going to emerge this year is Christian Ringo. I think you're going to start hearing that name a lot during the offseason workout programs. Look for that name, Christian Ringo. Of course, a draft choice of the Packers last year. But anyway, I think Clark is your nose tackle of the future. You know, I think him and Guyon can kind of rotate there at nose tackle and rotate in and out of the game together there. And I think, you know, Kenny Clark is good both against the run and the pass. I think he more than some prospects offers a little bit more as a pass rusher than others. Obviously, we're talking nose tackle here. Nose tackles don't get 10 sacks a season. Nose tackles a good season would be 5 sacks. And I think Kenny Clark can do that in the NFL in a 16-game schedule. Maybe not every single year of his career, but I think he can push the pocket a little. He's relentless. I think that's what he does. He really gets after things for a defensive lineman. He's very active. He pursues, and I think it's impressive what he was able to do, especially, you know, this past season without any Vanderdoss there at UCLA, the defensive tackle, right? A very good one who got injured. And after that, all the attention went on Kenny Clark. You know, but teams before that had to pick and choose who they would double team. And, you know, Kenny Clark received all the attention after that, after Vanderdoss went down. So I think he's really good. I could see the Packers going a bunch of ways in the defense, on the defensive side of the football in the first round. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they, you know, went... You know, Andrew Billings is another guy I'm really high on. Don't know if he'll be there or not. If he is, I could see the Packers definitely taking Andrew Billings. I could see them going Jerron Reed of Alabama. He's the kind of guy who I think he is the best run stuffer in the whole entire draft. I mean, you draft Jerron Reed, that's what you're getting. You're getting the best run stuffer, but you're also getting a guy who doesn't really rush the passer much. And I think Kenny Clark offers more of that if you go in that direction. So, I mean, there's that trade-off there. If you were to go read, you know, Ashawn Robinson, there's all sorts of ways. Vernon Butler, the Packers could, you know, I've heard Vernon Butler compared to Muhammad Wilkerson. And how attractive is that? I could see the Packers going any of those directions on defensive line because this draft is so deep on defensive linemen. I could see the Packers going in another direction and saving some, you know, addressing defensive line later in the draft as well. It could go any amount of ways. I've been debating in my mind. Noah Spence of Eastern Kentucky, Emmanuel Ogba of Oklahoma State. Ultimately, we're going Kenny Clark in the first round to the Green Bay Packers. So there you go. Your round two draft choice for the Packers, number, I believe it's 57 overall. I could have that wrong. I'm going off the top of my head here, but we're going with inside linebacker Joshua Perry of Ohio State. And so the Packers, not necessarily in the first round, but do address that inside linebacker position, perhaps the biggest weakness on the Packers roster, perhaps the biggest hole, they fill it there. With Perry, who I think is your like ideal size inside linebacker. He's 6'3", he's 250 pounds. He looks like almost a defensive end, but he can move like an inside linebacker. You know, I'm impressed how well he moves for his size. So, you know, I think some people think that, look at that size, think, oh, thumper. The Packers already got some thumpers on the roster at inside linebacker, but I think Joshua Perry is, he's a more mobile inside linebacker than anything the Packers have right now. He is your three down linebacker. Certainly that this is nothing, you know, this is saying nothing against what I think of Jake Ryan or even Sam Barrington. The Packers need two inside linebackers most of the time. You got two out there on the field. Joshua Perry would be one of them. And then it comes down to Jake Ryan and Sam Barrington. And both those guys will be used a lot regardless of what the Packers do. I mean, certainly one of them might be confined to the bench a little bit more. And I tend to think it would be more Sam Barrington who would play a backup role, you know, certainly coming off the injury there. I'm not ruling anything out at this point. Jobs are going to be won and lost during the offseason, during training camp. But I do think Josh Perry is a guy who could be, you know, a three down inside linebacker for the Green Bay Packers. You know, he was the middle linebacker on Ohio State's national championship team. I think that's what you're getting in him. A proven winner. You're getting a guy who's made 100 tackles each of the last two seasons, a very productive player, a big guy. He's not the best in pass coverage, but he's better than what the Packers have. He's better than Jake Ryan. I think he's better than Sam Barrington from a coverage standpoint. Yeah, you could make the argument that the Packers could use a better coverage linebacker. His teammate from Ohio State, Darren Lee, I'm going with Joshua Perry, who I think can get the job done, who can cover a tight end. He may have, I'm sure a slot receiver would give him fits, but I mean, they would give almost any inside linebacker fits. So I think you're getting a starter here and a very good player in Joshua Perry. So that is your round two draft pick of the Green Bay Packers. In round three, we're going offensive line, and perhaps you think, well, the Packers need a tackle. And I'm going to, you know, this is an interesting one. I'm going with the best player available theory here, a guy who I think will come off the board somewhere in the third round. And, you know, I think he's kind of a tackle. The player Connor McGovern of the University of Missouri, who played left tackle for Missouri this past season. Now, if you look at him and you watch him, his position may not be left tackle in the NFL. He may be able to get away with right tackle because, you know, he's not your ideal athletic guy. He's a bigger, stronger guy. In fact, one of the strongest offensive linemen and players overall in this year's draft class. And so I think you can experiment with him at right tackle. He would absolutely could play guard on either side of the offensive line, left or right. And I'm kind of looking down the road here a little bit in terms of that. You know, we've talked about here before, the Packers have four offensive linemen with expiring contracts after the 2016 season, including Josh Sitton and TJ Lang to go along with David Bakhtiari and JC Treader. Not all four of them are going to be back. Somebody's going to be gone. And if it's one of the guards, Lang or Sitton, you've got Connor McGovern in a year from now plugging right in, but a guy who could also potentially be your right tackle, even be a left tackle in a pinch, a guy who's played out there in college in the SEC. And, you know, hey, the Packers needed a left tackle in a pinch last year, as we saw when Bakhtiari went down and they were playing musical chairs at left tackle between Don Barkley and Josh Sitton and eventually JC Treader. McGovern could maybe do that in a pinch. But I think he would be a great guard, a great one, better than any backup guard the Packers have right now. And so I think, you know, you're looking down the road here at a guy who could be a future starter. And we'll address the tackle position coming up yet here. So stick around for a guy who might be a more ideal one. But now, round four. Packers have lots of ammunition in the fourth round of the NFL draft. Lots of places they could go, lots of places, a lot of depth to add here at this point because of the compensatory draft picks. But sticking with their first, their regular pick, the end of the fourth round here, I'm going outside linebacker, a guy who's kind of a defensive end, outside linebacker hybrid, but Yannick Ngakoue from Maryland. And I forgive me if I'm pronouncing that last name a little bit. This is an African name here that obviously I don't have a whole lot of experience pronouncing. But, you know, Ngakoue is one of the best pure pass rushers, I think, in this year's draft class. He's a little bit, you're a little bit worried because he's a little bit of a tweener. Don't know if he's quite a defensive end. He's quite an outside linebacker, but I think the Packers have done a pretty good job finding roles for that kind of guy, in their defensive system. You know, obviously the Packers have outside linebackers between Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, Jarone Elliott, Mike Neal's still out there. Don't know whether he'll come back or not, but in Ngakoue, the Packers have a guy who I think, you know, may struggle a little bit in, you know, something like pass coverage, but you know, we're talking an outside linebacker here. They don't ask those guys to go in coverage a whole lot. And, you know, Ngakoue, if I remember correctly, he kind of played outside linebacker for Maryland as a junior in 2014. I'm not sure if that was his junior year, but in 2014 and then kind of defensive end in 2015. So he does have experience at outside linebacker. He's a guy who has stood up before and can be versatile. But yeah, a really good pass rusher. I'm not sure he's going to ever be a guy who's going to get you 15 sacks in a season, but if he could be the type of guy who gets you 7 sacks a year on a consistent basis, he may be that kind of guy. And that's not bad for a fourth round draft choice. I think there's some explosive tendencies to his game that I'd really like to see play out in a green and gold uniform. And I find that very intriguing. So Yannick Ngakoue from Maryland. Now we're getting into the compensatory draft picks here, for the losses of the cornerbacks, Tremont Williams and Devon House from a year ago. These are the choices the Packers got in compensation. They cannot trade these picks. They have to take them. Starting in 2017, you can actually trade comp picks, but have to take them in 2016. Have to make pick a player. And so in round four, I got the Packers taking running back Kenyon Drake of Alabama. And, you know, I think I've mentioned this on the show before, but one thing I thought was really intriguing is I was at the NFL Combine, and during Drake's interview, he almost seemed offended by the, you know, he, of course, is very fast, very fast. You remember, he was the guy who returned the 100-yard kickoff for a touchdown in the national championship game against Clemson. Huge moment. Really fast guy. And he almost is offended at the thought, at the assumption, presumption that he would be like a third down back or a complementary back, which is what he's been his whole college career. He actually backed up Eddie Lacy, you know, early on. You know, we're talking like 2011 here. But has, you know, backed up TJ Yeldon, has backed up Derrick Henry, the Heisman Trophy winner. He never was a featured back himself, but he totally thinks he can be, totally thinks he should be. And you know what? He may be able to. You know, he's been backing up some pretty darn good players at the University of Alabama between Lacy, Henry, jury's still out at Yeldon at the NFL level, but not ruling anything out there. So, you know, he, I think at the very least is your complimentary back. He's the lightning to the thunder that Lacy brings to the Packers right now. I think he's very good catching the ball out of the backfield. He's almost a wide receiver. He'd obviously be a shorter one. I know I've, I think it's Pro Football Focus actually compares Drake to Ty Montgomery. So the Packers would kind of have almost two players with that same skill set. But I think obviously they're looking for Montgomery to be more of a wide receiver and would look for Drake to be more of a running back. But good out of the backfield, can catch your screens, and possibly be a kick returner for the Packers. Obviously they're looking for Montgomery there too, but you can never have enough good options there, right? Especially a guy who, you know, is returned a kickoff for a touchdown in the national championship game. The speed was on display right there. You know, he's like a 4-4 guy. And a guy who could, you know, even if Eddie Lacy and James Starks were to move on, Kenyon Drake could be a feature back in due time. For now, just a complimentary back and a fast one at that. Okay, rounding out the fourth round. So the second of two compensatory draft picks here at the end of the fourth. We're going with John Theus, an offensive tackle from the University of Georgia. And here you get more of your prototypical tackle. In fact, Theus is a tackle or nothing. He's not a guard. He's like 6'6". He's probably almost too tall to play in the interior of the offensive line. And, you know, the weakness with John Theus, people will say he doesn't have enough functional strength. And that may be true. And he may need a year of, you know, being in an NFL weight room for sure. I get that. But I think he is your... he is your prototype tackle. He could back up both the left and the right sides of the offensive line, which is what he did. He started off on the right side at Georgia and then graduated, not literally, figuratively graduated to left tackle on the left side there at Georgia. And he was a 4-year starter at Georgia in the SEC. If you're a 4-year starter in the SEC, on the offensive line, you know what? I think there's a pretty good chance you may be able to handle the NFL. Might take a year of experience under his belt, just getting used to the NFL, learning, getting stronger. But, you know, he could be that backup tackle. And he's a guy you don't need in year one, ideally. Again, you never know when injuries happen, but, you know, if David Bakhtiari and Brian Bulaga are healthy, they're the starters. There's no questions there. They're going to be out there for 16 games as long as they can handle it. So Theus could, you know, just simply be a backup and learn. And maybe in a year's time or two down the road, he could end up being a starter. And just be, or, you know, at the very least, an insurance policy for several years. So I think that's another good pick, or that's somebody who's going to come off the board around that fourth round area. So now we're getting deeper into the day three of the NFL draft, rounds 5, 6, and 7 here. So the Packers had, you know, basically 6 picks in the first 4 rounds, which is really intriguing, the talent they can get there. And now we're talking a little deeper on day three here, and these guys are going to be a little bit more projects here, but we're going to go in round 5, a guy named Bo Sandlin, a tight end from Montana State. And Sandlin is kind of a little bit of a journeyman in college. He went from the junior college route to the University of Miami, where he spent only 1 year. And things didn't work out there and ended up transferring to Montana State for his senior year. Only played one season at Montana State. We're talking about the FCS level of football. But Bo Sandlin, he's a guy who did play in FBA, you know, at the University of Miami. He's got the talent to do it. Things just didn't work out for him there. You know, I think part because of the coaching staff, in part because he wanted to be back out closer to the West Coast. I know you're not exactly talking West Coast in Montana, but anyway, I think he's an athletic guy. I think he's a guy who can be both a pass catcher and a blocker at the tight end position. In fact, if you Google it, there's this viral video out there of a devastating block he laid out. I believe it was in junior college, but Bo Sandlin. Just Google Bo Sandlin big block or something like that on YouTube. Eventually it'll pop up if you do a little bit of searching for it. But I think he's a guy who's also a good athlete. He, as far as tight ends go, he had just about more production than any tight end at the FCS level. He caught a bunch of passes his senior year at Montana State. So I think he's a guy who definitely is going to need a little bit of time, but there's athleticism there. A guy who can possibly get downfield, you know, at least better than a guy like Richard Rodgers can for the Packers right now. And a guy who can block too. So, I think there's some traits worth developing there, that you may worry that he may not be able to handle the NFL, seeing as he's only, you know, he played at junior college, he played at Montana State. These places aren't exactly high levels of competition that he faced. But I mean, you're talking about, you know, when you're getting into the fifth, sixth, seventh round with any player, you're talking about bust potential here too, or simply a role player. But I think there's potential here with a guy like Bo Sandlin that he can be more than that. So that's where we're going there. Round six. This one's definitely a little bit of a project here for sure. No doubt about it. We're going with the Packers taking another linebacker. And this one is Antoine Williams of Georgia Southern. And there's definitely not an ideal inside linebacker here. He was more of a weak side linebacker in a 4-3 system than he is a traditional inside linebacker in a 3-4. But I think what he is for a round six type of player is for that, for getting him that late in the draft, he's a good athlete. He's a former safety who has a little bit of size to him. So I think he may be able to handle the athletic aspects of playing inside linebacker, but he's definitely going to have to get more used to taking on blockers and shedding blocks and just taking on big offensive linemen, 300-plus pound offensive linemen head on. That's going to be new to him. And it's, you know, he's going to be a guy a lot like, you know, Joe Thomas now, who's kind of a little bit of undersized inside linebacker, and is going to have trouble with that kind of thing. But I think you're getting an athletic guy and a guy you're probably definitely not looking to play year one at all on defense. He may be able to be a special teams player for you right away. And in due time, you know, after a year of development or two, a guy who may be able to play for you, but a guy who think, you know, he could spend a year on the practice squad, something like that. But a talent worth developing. I thought he was a really talented player on a Georgia Southern team there that, you know, that won the Sun Belt 2 years ago. That was just, I think, a game away from winning the Sun Belt this past. So he played for a successful program. He was one of the reasons they were successful, I think. He was one of the best players on their roster there and really helped their defense along. And I think he's a good talent worth developing. Played a lower level of the FBS, but a guy you could develop. And finally, seventh round here. Packers going with a wide receiver. We're going with Chris Brown of Notre Dame. And what I think you're getting here is a speed prospect. I think that's what the Packers need more than anything from the wide receiver position. And they have a lot of wide receivers. You know, obviously the Packers have a lot of options already on their roster, and they don't necessarily need a wide receiver. But again, we're talking round seven here. By the time you get to the seventh round, the Packers could take any position. You're just looking for a diamond in the rough and a guy who you think, you know, may be able to help you down the road. But I think that's what Chris Brown is he's fast. He has 4.44 type of speed. I think he ran 4.48 or something at the NFL Combine. And that's something the Packers are lacking on the roster, is that deep speed. You may have that in Jeff Janis, but apart from him, You don't have a whole lot of deep speed on the roster, and I think he's a guy who can stretch the field a little bit, especially from the outside. And you know, he may not play right away, but who knows? A year from now, especially if Jordy Nelson doesn't come back well from the injury, or Jordy Nelson's just getting old, you know, who knows what happens? Chris Brown could, you know, fight for time in the years down the road. I think he's, you know, he was a number two wide receiver basically at Notre Dame. So he is, you know, experienced not being the prime target. He was kind of the number two guy to Will Fuller there, and he'll be a number two, number three guy in the NFL, if that even, number four, number five guy. But I mean, that's what the Packers would be looking for, a number four or a number five guy. And a guy that can stretch the field a little bit. Now I'm just repeating myself, but there you go. I mean, there is your Packers 7-round mock draft, guys who I think fit what the Packers do. Obviously, I'm not going to be perfect. If I can get one or two of these choices right, I would be happy. But there is your Packers 7-round mock draft for 2016. So, starting with Kenny Clark of UCLA, your first-round draft pick. We'll see if that ends up coming to fruition. As we continue on with the show here, and I'm still waiting for a call from Matt Weiser of Buffalo. He's supposed to be calling in, and if he calls, we'll take his call. But I'm not sure. He was supposed to call at the start of the show at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, so we're waiting on that. But for the moment being, next segment.
Packers news of the day.
Report over the weekend by Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Kind of the most interesting report I thought out of the past, you know, since the last episode of Railbird Central. Basically talking about the front office of the Green Bay Packers and how the Packers reportedly have prevented several candidates from interviewing for other teams. And most notably among them, Elliot Wolf, who the Packers have recently promoted. But apparently, according to Bob McGinn, Wolf was prevented from interviewing for the position of general manager of the division rival Detroit Lions, and he was also reportedly their top choice. So that's very interesting, you know, for somebody to be prevented from basically the highest position he could possibly get. I mean, this is, if you want to be a general manager, it doesn't get any higher. You can't climb up any higher on the ladder than that. Usually it's one of those things with coaches, like they prevent coaches from interviewing, except if it's a head coaching position. It's like, if you get that opportunity, you give them their chance and you let them, you know, go to the top of the ladder if that kind of opportunity comes along. But interesting, the teams don't have to do that because of the way contracts are structured. If they sign a contract for several years, they are the basically you can be prevented from interviewing from other places as long as you're under contract. So I mean, the Packers do reserve that right. And, you know, obviously they think very highly of Elliot Wolf and want to keep him in the fold. And potentially, I think he's your general manager of the future in Green Bay down the road, perhaps when Ted Thompson is done. Again, you know, Ted Thompson has a contract that expires after the 2018 season. And the feeling is that, you know, Wolf, if he just bides his time, could become general managers of the Packers when Thompson's contract expires. But interesting, never had heard that before from McGinn or anybody else, that he was actually prevented from interviewing and that he was the top draft choice. Could have been the general manager of the Packers rival and been trying to been you know, facing the Packers and trying to undermine them, you know, from, you know, I'm not saying by any wrong deeds or anything like that, but trying to undermine them in that, you know, just doing better than them. But also prevented, apparently, Couple other front office executives from interviewing as well, including Alonzo Highsmith and Brian Gutekunst for interviewing. Gutekunst for the job with the Eagles and Highsmith for a job with the Washington Redskins. So preventing them from interviewing as well. So again, things that I think it might have been reported that Gutekunst was prevented, but I never heard anything on Highsmith before. So that was the news over the weekend from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. If you're interested in the practices of the Packers front office and what's happening there, that may have been interest to you, and you can still go check it out there at jsonline.com. But other than that, you know, in our last segment of the show,
the day ahead,
I've got nothing here. It's the calm before the storm. It's the NFL draft, really. The Packers, you know, if you really want to stretch here, this is happening. It's week two of the off-season workout program. So it began last Monday, you know, week one. Now we're in week two of the off-season workout program. And this will be the, you know, the first phase. There's three phases, and the first phase only lasts 2 weeks. So this is the last week of the strength and conditioning program here. For the players already under contract, you know, obviously Packers going to add some draft choices this week. But for the guys already under contract, all the whole rest of the team, they're at Lambeau Field right now. They're lifting weights. They're working out. That's all they're doing right now. They're not practicing. Like I said, no 11-on-11 or anything like that. But they're getting ready for the season, taking that baby step, getting their bodies back in shape right now. That's what's happening. That's about all I got for you that's happening right now in the immediate future, in the next 24, 48-hour period. Otherwise, everything is draft-focused right now. Still got to wait three more days. But, you know, front offices, the NFL world, players themselves, all focused on the NFL draft here and getting ready for the influx of talent that'll come to Green Bay. And we'll be talking more about that on our next episode. In fact, our episode on Wednesday, we're going to air review. It's going to be a little bit of a storytelling episode on Wednesday. It's really interesting. We're going to air some interviews with the NFL prospect Adam Gotsis of Georgia Tech, his interview at the NFL Combine. And he, of course, is an Australian, and I kind of have a very personal connection because I, of course, played football in Australia. And we're going to talk to how a guy from Australia gets from way over there to way over here to play football in the United States and on the doorstep of the NFL. It's going to be a very interesting episode on Wednesday, and we hope you join us then. But that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. We'll be back again, as we do every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of the show, podcasted and on demand later in the day. We'll see you later, folks. Have a good Friday. My call to action. Have a good Monday. My call to action. As usual, as always, if you've not done so already, we'd greatly appreciate it if you gave us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. This show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you could do us a solid, give us a review, we'd greatly appreciate it. Helps us get word out about the show and helps other people find it as well. The number one podcast on the Green Bay Packers, definitely the most frequently podcasted internet exclusive podcast on the Green Bay Packers. We'll see you later, folks. Have a good Monday. I leave you today with a song called, if I can find it here, Bali Munster by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack. Go.